Deplorable Nation, a podcast where your voices can be heard, where things that affect you and your family are important, because it's important to all of us. Every one of us matters and everybody has a voice. We're going to be bringing you news, current events, and throw in a lot of humor. And then you decide for yourself. Hello, sexy ones, and welcome to another episode of Deplorable Nation. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet. This is episode 24. We're going to call it Lyman. So today I have a very special guest with me. His name is Noah, a.k.a. Atoz, famous from the Gilded Chat. So welcome to you, my dear. How are you?
I'm having just a fantastic week, Janet. Thanks for having me.
I'm so very glad that you decided to join me today because you're so knowledgeable on so many different fronts, and I was excited when you said that you would record with me. So thank you so much for coming on today.
The pleasure's mine.
So give me a brief history or brief background on you. Who is Atoz?
Sure. So I was actually born in the North in Illinois and raised in the South. We moved when I was just 4 and a half, so I don't have much recollection there. But I was born in Chicago, and I like to lay claim to that. But we moved to a very remote area, less than 500 people in the town I grew up in. And really, I had an interesting upbringing because even though we now lived in the country and we had a lot of farm animals and kind of started living that life, my dad was working in the finance world, and his company was successful, so he was able to work remotely before that was a normal thing in 2020. And so I had a very interesting mix of country living mixed with all this high tech or stereotypical city living.
So when you grew up in the country setting, did you get into hunting, fishing, mudding, things like that, that country folk normally do?
We did all of that and we loved it.
Yeah. And so how different is that for you than big city life? Like, do you miss it at all?
My ideal living situation is living in the country, but I like to be close enough to visit a city. I like the freedom you have when you live on many acres. I grew up on 300 acres, and I still value that even though I don't necessarily utilize the land as much as I used to.
Yeah, and see, I miss things like that because I grew up in the country, and then you know, we moved out here to the country, thank goodness, from a big city last year. And I'm so thankful because every day we get to see wildlife. We have hawks, we have eagles, we have deer, we have turkeys. Yeah. We even had a beaver in our yard, which is weird. But we do live around a lot of water. So I'm grateful that we're back out here in no man's land because it's amazing.
It is amazing. You know, that's funny. It reminds me, we had, I think it's 8 ponds, and we had a big beaver problem 1 year. So we actually would go out with a .22 and, you know, try to get the beaver situation under control. And it was a whole deal the entire summer, just trying to get it under control. So we saw a lot of beavers growing up.
Don't shoot me, beaver. So did you guys like fish and then like fillet them and cook them yourself?
We did. We liked to do that. We stocked the ponds with different fish and took care of them and then, you know, actually did the whole ordeal, you know, caught them, filleted them, ate them, deer hunting as well, rabbit hunting, and, and turkey rabbit hunting.
Rabbit is yummy. Very, very yummy. So this is weird, but like, what is the weirdest, wild thing that you've eaten?
I probably would say roadkill deer.
Roadkill deer.
Does that count as weird?
Don't eat the roadkill. Yes, that is very weird.
Well, we learned our lesson. Here's the deal. You know, you drove back roads all the time, and one night, the whole family was in the car, and Dad was driving. We hit a deer, and for some reason, my brother and I just thought, we've got to bring this deer home. We've got to eat this deer. It's roadkill, but for whatever reason, that's just, we made it our mission. So we got home, we got the truck, we came back, we picked up the deer, and we already knew how to field dress a deer and all that. So we put in all the work. You know, our brother-in-law was talking to us saying, you're an idiot. What are you doing? And he was the deer guy, so we should have listened. And, you know, it was just a bloody mess all over, but we tried to get to the meats that hadn't been damaged or bloodied. And by the time we cooked it, it was some of the worst tasting stuff I've ever had.
Yeah, and you know, that is so true. Like, even if you're hunting deer, not eating roadkill, thank you, mind you that. But like older deer taste very different than a younger deer because it has that, like super old, really gamey taste, which is, it's very disgusting and it's really hard to get rid of that taste. So, note to self, don't eat roadkill deer or roadkill period.
We learned our lesson.
That makes me laugh. So let me ask you, was there ever a time in your life where you had like an aha moment where you were like, okay, so the things that I'm hearing are not exactly true? Or were you always like really aware of everything that was going on?
Yes, and I think the answer to that is yes to both. And what I mean by that is we were taught growing up, think for yourself, question everything. You know, don't just take something at its word. You know, prove it, and you know, source what you find. However, we weren't, any of us in my family, what you might call red-pilled, but that's kind of what I'd like to call the red-pill mindset. Now, the event that it was the red pill itself would have been Epstein didn't kill himself.
So you're a newbie then.
Compared to you, I am.
Yeah, I'm not a newbie. I'm an old person. Yeah. So it's funny though that you say that because you were brought up so different and you were brought up like question everything, like, you know, whatever. And were you like, yeah, I'm just like, okay, that was a great lesson, but I'm not going to listen? Or were you just like kind of blinded by stuff? Like, how did that happen? Mm. That you were kind of like awake but asleep at the same time? How did that happen?
Yeah, that happened because our blind spots, I would say as a whole family, really, was anything to do with religion. We grew up Christians, and we trusted the churches and leaders in different situations. And I know you're familiar with how often that goes wrong.
100%.
So it very much had it influenced our ways of thinking well outside of just what you might call religion. I think that was the biggest hindrance and blind spot. And I didn't distance myself from the church, but just as you mature and as you form your own ways of thinking, I already was finding myself thinking differently than say most of my family. And basically the nail in the coffin was Epstein.
So was there ever anything that happened in your life that changed you as a person, whether physically or spiritually or anything like that?
Yes, there's honestly multiple ones, but easily the biggest one was when I had Lyme disease and the journey that took me on.
Interesting. So when did you get that? And tell the listeners, like, for the people that don't know, what that is and how that happened.
Certainly. So I actually got it in 2012, but I didn't know I had it until 2013. Now, as far as Lyme disease goes, that's lucky. Some people don't know they have it until 30 years later. Right. Lyme disease is an autoimmune disorder, and you get it through ticks. And it causes so many secondary health issues. Not historically been very poor testing for it. So it's gone unchecked for many people who have been fighting for it for a very long time. And oftentimes someone who's had it, say 10, 20, 30 years, the reason they find it is because they have, stopped trusting their doctors, unconditionally and started questioning, what their real issue is because, you know, the doctors have failed in their responsibility to determine the root cause.
100%. And I can say, without a shadow of a doubt, that is the medical community to a T anymore. A lot of people don't have faith in anything. So with Lyme disease, for people who don't know, when you are bitten by a tick, ticks carry a certain type of bacteria. And that bacteria basically is free-flowing throughout your body and causes crazy multiple symptoms, but a lot of times affects your nervous system first and foremost. You have headaches, you have fatigue, you have muscle pains, you have like memory things, you have sleep problems, et cetera, et cetera. But the most common thing to get from that is a rash because like 70 to 80% of patients present with a rash, although it's not itchy and it's not painful. So what did you have?
So I did have a rash. I did have a rash, but I essentially forgot about it.
Was that because you were little?
Yes. Yes.
Or because you're crazy like me.
I'd say, honestly, a little bit of both. So I didn't really know what Lyme disease was. There was a single paragraph about it that I read about it in my, I guess, biology book in high school, and that was it. So I just didn't even know to be worried about it.
Right. And so, what besides the rash, what other kind of symptoms were you having?
Yeah, so they piled on over that year period. At first, the way it started was about every 5 weeks, I develop a bacterial infection, and my tonsils, they would swell so big. It was painful, it was miserable, and I couldn't naturally fight it off. So we'd go to the doctor, get antibiotics, and they'd send you home, and I'd be better in about a week. And then, well, it just repeat itself. By week 4 or 5, it happened again. And I mean, really in hindsight, I'm listening to myself saying that and thinking, wow, you're crazy. You should have, even the doctor at least should have known something worse was going on, but they didn't. And it got worse because eventually I developed Epstein-Barr. I had chronic fatigue syndrome. So my muscles hurt all the time. I was very sore. I used to have a lot of energy. You know, we played a lot of sports growing up, and I was always first on the field, last one off. But now suddenly, I was lucky if I could just go outside and hang out with people. and I needed to sleep just a very long time. Some days I would sleep 12 hours, but it didn't seem to matter whether I slept 4 or 16 hours. I always woke up feeling exhausted.
So you never felt like fully rested at all?
That's correct.
That's really scary, especially for a kid who's super active, and that was like your lifestyle and what you were used to, and now you have something that is preventing you from actually functioning as a kid.
Yeah.
And that's really scary. So, like, with all of your trips to the doctor, like, what was the final, like, hurrah moment where they're like, oh my God, guess what? I think you have Lyme disease. Let's test for it. How long did that take? And who finally had the brain cells to actually test you?
Right. I was the one who had the brain cells, and I love my parents, but they weren't even the ones. And essentially a year later, you got to understand, a year of this, we could spend an hour talking about what it does to you psychologically, much less 100%. Physically, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And I had people tell me, well, it's your diet. You know, you keep pulling those all-nighters with your peers, and you're drinking, you know, a 12-pack of soda, you're pounding the beer, you're smoking. And then, you know, of course, and you're eating fast food all the time. So, of course, you're like this. And I'd say, no, all my peers do that. And they're not having these issues.
Right.
But, you know, psychologically, it was a really damaging time because you get told it's in your head. You're just unhealthy. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. And for whatever reason.
I was going to say, that's like their common thing. Anytime anyone goes in for something, and that's their famous thing is, Well, are you under a lot of stress right now, sweetheart? Because it must be stress.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you drink soda? Yes. Oh, well, there you have it.
Yeah. And I had that same kind of thing, and not until I was an adult, like way older. And I'm working for a teaching hospital. And the doctor that I worked closely with was like, I kept telling him, I'm like, I'm so tired. Like, I'll literally take the dog outside to go to the bathroom and I will fall asleep in the chair waiting for him. I have no energy. I'm super short of breath. I'm so like tired all the time. I feel like ass, like constantly something is wrong. And you know, the best person to know your body is you. And he told me specifically, it's because you're stressed. Now, I am like literally the least stressed person on the planet. I have no drama in my life. Everything is super like laid back, chill, like everything is great. I don't have any stress. And so he went on vacation, and I luckily had the ability to like sign orders in his absence per his permission. And I was like, you know what? Something's wrong. I'm going to set up like some heart tests for myself. And I went and had all these done while he was gone on vacation. And they came back that I actually have a genetic heart anomaly that you can't fix. There's no cure for, nothing like that. He came back from vacation and I was like, look, here's my test results. Guess it's not in my head, huh? But then again, I'm kind of a sarcastic, smug fuck because I know me and I know a lot more about medical stuff than, and I hate to say this, than a lot of doctors do. So kudos to you for being like, you know what? I was reading some stuff and this is what I think is going on.
Well, it took extreme anger, depression, and frustration to get there.
Right.
And that's just what it takes, I guess.
And that's the thing a lot of people don't understand. When you have a any kind of illness that especially is questionable, you don't know what's going on, whatnot, but you know your body's like out of balance and out of whack. Yeah. It does affect your emotional state because you become depressed and irritated and frustrated, and like all the negative energy flows in. And you're like everything about my life sucks. Like I feel like shit 24/7, and like I don't know why no one in the medical community knows what's wrong with me, and like I can't sleep and I hurt all the time, and it's a whole psychological like yo-yo.
It's absolutely, and it just makes things worse when you are thinking and feeling down about your situation. I know it does.
And so how did you get out of that? How did you overcome that? Like what kind of things did you do? Like what kind of treatments did you get? And then how did you overcome the emotional aspect of all of that?
Yeah, so I took a multi-pronged approach. Now the catalyst was I was on vacation with my family in Vermont, and I was just another time being sick. And I hear everyone laughing downstairs, and I'm just sick upstairs. And I was just so pissed off. And I was like, I don't deserve this kind of life. You know, I'm a good guy, you know, and I have to work twice as hard as everyone else. And I just kind of got worked up in this frenzy of like, this is just wrong. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I don't care what anyone else says. I just couldn't receive that. You know, just being real, what honestly sparked it off is I was there praying with my mom, and I had a spiritual experience where I really felt like I felt and heard a voice say, you'll be well. And I held on to that. And from that day on believed, okay, I'm going to be well. I'm going to get past this. So what happened is I went to the doctor and told them, look, I've been coming here a year and I keep coming in about every 5 weeks. You have the records. This can't be normal. I don't care what you tell me. I went off. I did a whole speech saying, you know, this isn't right, essentially. Right. And just randomly the doctor goes, well, you know, it could be Lyme disease.
And you're like, it took you a year to think of that?
And it took me standing up for myself. Yeah, really. It pissed me off because I'm like, what do you mean just throwing that out there in the middle of this rant? And it just made it worse that he was right. It really did.
So, you know, I tested a lot of patients for Lyme disease, which I did have a couple come back positive, but it wasn't a lot. But, you know, I grew up in Indiana, and I was actually literally 4 hours from where you grew up. So... Wow. There are a lot of ticks, and you know, hunting is a big thing, and you know, ticks are a big thing. They get on your animals. So imagine your animals actually experience those kind of things too. But the thing that's frustrating is because you just want to shake people in the medical community and be like, what is really wrong with you? Because you went to medical school, and I'm trusting you with my health. And it's like, they don't care. They don't hear you. They don't listen to you. And you know you better than anyone else. Talk about like the spiritual part of that. Like, how did that like make you feel, and have you always been into the spiritual aspect, or was that like your moment that catapulted you into a whole nother level?
A little bit of both. You know, we grew up traditionally Christian, and there were different views kind of almost opposing that my parents shared, but I was always born with a more, you could say, sensitivity towards spiritual things, and I'm a natural empath. So I'm very much. So we're very intuitive, and we just know things.
Right.
And boy, I could spend a lot of time on how I've had to learn to pay attention to that, but let's keep focused on the Lyme disease part of this aspect. So, you know, I believed I had a sort of experience that confirmed my future and that my future was going to be different. I don't think we mentioned this before, but Lyme disease is clinically unhealable. Right. So for me, when I was told, you know, when I got the blood test back, it was the Western blot. I think it was IgG P41 specifically, right. that strand. Right. It was scary because you're now faced with this reality that you're being told for the rest of your life, this is as good as it's going to be. Because right. you're a young kid. And if you feel like shit now, just wait until you're 40 or 50.
Amen. Things definitely change when you get older. Yes, that's true.
They do. And I start reading about Lyme disease now that I know I have it. And I realize it's only going to get much worse before it gets better. And right. I don't know, Janet. I didn't receive it. I didn't believe it. I took multiple approaches to this. You know, my sister was, I have five, but one of them was kind of the weird outcast, the anti-vaxxer and the natural, you know, person.
Oh, so she's my spirit animal then.
She is. And I'll have you know, she thinks a lot of you. And she said, if you need any anti-vax stuff, you know, let me know.
And I appreciate that. Yeah.
So she came to me and said, hey, look, I know you have Lyme disease. You know, I just was thinking, oh, hell, here we go. She's going to tell me not to do what the doctors say, you know, this poor soul. And she said, look, check out this website. There's this protocol that a lot of people seem to have success with. And what I did was I did take her advice, but I also took the doctor's advice. And I took some spiritual advice, too. And my treatment involved really, that's why I said earlier, a three-pronged approach. I like to say I took the spiritual route and the conventional route and the non-conventional route.
Right. And I think that's super important for people to realize, and any type of healing for any type of disease manifestation or anything that's going on with you, because people that listen to me know I'm not a fan of medications. I'm not a fan of big pharma. And so alternate healing sources, spiritual healing sources, those are the things that have gotten me through life, because I have had a couple of near-death experiences where they have said, okay, you have this. I'm going to give you these medications and this is going to save you. And guess what? Mm-hmm. They gave me these medications, which almost caused the death of me.
Yes.
And so it wasn't until those points of my life where I reached that spiritual plane, basically. And I was like, okay, so modern medicine can't heal me.
Yes.
But my being in touch with God and prayer and positive energy healing frequencies, vibrations, positive energy, things like that, people don't understand how much that actually benefits and affects you.
100%.
And it's like a miracle, because like you and Bob did a show together where you were talking about healing frequencies and 432 hertz and whatnot. And that's true, because as a nurse, I can tell you a lot of facilities will put in music therapy into your healing plan or into your nursing plan, basically, for you to get better. That's mm-hmm. part of your therapy. Same thing as visual therapy. And And it's really weird. I heard you talk about this, where you like see tones, you see music. That's called synesthesia. Mm-hmm. And that is such a rare neurological manifestation where a lot of people will actually hear in colors. And I know that sounds weird, but you'll hear something and you see it in colors and you see it in color patterns, or you like pick up a vibration and you can see musical notes or whatnot. That it's very rare, and God bless you for having that, because to me, it's not a bad neurological thing. It is absolute and total perfection. Like, you are a rare breed, and that's a rare form of something that everyone else does not have.
Well, thank you. It's different for me than what I read for a lot of people, which is a whole nother conversation, really. But I think, trying to go back just a minute here to Lyme disease in this aspect, I honestly believe a big part of my ultimate purpose has a lot to do with the fact that I've had to overcome. You know, you said, hey, this isn't a bad disorder. That's correct. But I was told it was, and I was uncomfortable with these things. And what I really like to say is, you know, someone who might be listening now, or I were to talk to outside of this, and we start talking about basically anything you just said, they're going to look at you and say, I don't know, that could be, if they're open-minded, but it's not going to really resonate with them. But once you encounter some sort of unhealable disease or condition, and you have to face the reality that yourself, for the rest of your life, this is who you are.
Right.
That changes everything. And so for me, when I was faced with my own reality, I think it was around 17. It only gets worse from here. You have no hope. You can just cope. I didn't accept that ultimately, but I did have to accept that for a time, which really broke down a lot of mindsets that I had, which I'm thankful for now. You know, it has a way of working out.
Right.
But I started caring a lot more about these things when I needed to care about them, is what I'm saying. I didn't care so much. I didn't think so much about what could or could not be miraculous, what may or may not be possible in healing in any form. I just didn't care about it until I was the one who was desperate enough to try certain things.
Right. And that's true. And unfortunately, that's the path that most people take. A lot of times they'll think you're crazy or you're insane for suggesting alternative therapies or alternative healing, or putting yourself even in a positive mindset about stuff. But it is actually documented. You can look this stuff up where it is even like with dream therapy. That's a huge thing, because that was Freud's jam, if you want to say, because he believed that connecting your subconscious or your unconscious with what you want to manifest into your life, that's what your dreams are. And so he believed wholeheartedly that if you dream about like being on a yacht or being like the boss of a company or whatnot, those are your subconscious desires. And that by dreaming these things or thinking about these things, especially before bed, you'll manifest them.
Mm.
And so it's the same thing with the healing pattern. When you manifest positive energy, and people have heard me talk about this ad nauseum, but when you manifest positive energy, that positive energy brings you more positive in your life. If you're completely negative and hateful and everything sucks and everyone sucks and you hate your job, you hate your life, hate your kids, you hate whatever,
right?
You're going to pull in more of that.
Now, here's the catch 22 with that. Someone with, like in my situation with Lyme disease, I was clinically depressed. You know, I was in pain all the time. And it becomes a catch 22 because what you really need to do is change the way you think.
Right.
And do those things you said, be more positively focused, you know, dream, however you want to put it. And that's exactly what you need to get in a better state of mind and ultimately a better state of health, because I believe how we think affects absolutely not just how we feel, but who we are.
100%.
But it takes a special kind of person to be able to do that. Since I'm now completely certifiably healed from Lyme disease, you know, there's different people who come to me now who have it or their friend has it. And it's almost heartbreaking trying to help them, because what I've learned is you can't help anyone heal. You can tell right. them what worked for you. It may right. or may not work for them, but the key components that you cannot possibly manufacture that is that they have to take responsibility for their own health. True. And they have to find that inner strength to overcome all that's put against them with their own depression. They have to really invert their negativity and turn it into something positive. And that's something you can't do for someone else.
Right. And that's it. People have to be in that mindset where like my life is awful and I'm so depressed or I'm so anxious, whatnot, that you want to make a change. Because people have heard me talk about this before, where it used to be you were just diagnosed with depression or just diagnosed with anxiety. And now they partner the two, yes. which are total opposite ends of the spectrum. And so the medications that they prescribe you for both actually work against each other. And so that's why people are like, well, today I don't have any anxiety, but I do have a lot of depression. Okay, today I have a lot of anxiety, you know, whatever. It's because your medications are making your body in a state where they're in constant flux. They don't know what's going on. And like I said, since they work against each other, it works against the natural balance or the homeostasis in the body, to where your body is so confused, it doesn't know what to do. And so as a patient with that, you have to guide yourself in different directions, because people that are diagnosed with both, they'll tell you, yeah, it's helping, but like I still have problems. Well, of course you do. Mm-hmm. And you always will, because your body is so confused and so like jittery and up 1 minute and down 1 minute. And it like doesn't know what to do to create a balance in your system. And so that's why things like music therapy with the frequencies, the healing frequencies, relaxation, meditation, dietary stuff is super important. Diet is a huge thing, because there are certain things you should not eat, but that you also have to eat, especially if you are prescribed these medications. You have to eat on a normal basis. Even though they quell your appetite, you have to eat. You have to sleep. You have to put your yes. body in a state of relaxation, doing art therapy or reading or whatever you enjoy. You have to remember to do those things to round yourself out as a whole, so that you can actually put your own self back in balance, and then you won't need your medications anymore.
And I can attest to that, because I've been on a number of different medications and I'm not on any now. It's been quite a journey, to say the least. But going back, yeah, to Lyme disease and specifically the dietary part, that just made me remember one thing I put into place immediately with my treatment was I cut off all fast food. You know, I remember the day I decided to do that because I knew I had to. I said, all right, I'm going to Taco Bell one last time. You know, I loved my fast food back then. So I'm getting all I want. I'm getting the big soda, and that's it. And I did it. That was crucial into getting into a better health. You know, I cut out alcohol as well. So no alcohol, you know, no smoking, no fast food. And that's, I would say, what I've learned about what's in our food and really how all those different substances affect you.
Right.
To someone who's in a bad state of health, that's what I'd call the low-hanging fruit. If you want to get better, the first thing you do is just start cutting those out.
Right. And that's so important because people don't understand how small dietary changes or small changes in your quote pattern of behavior affect your long-term goals and your long-term outcome. Have you ever had like any near-death experiences or anything that caused you to like completely change your life?
You know, I did have one this year, actually.
So tell me about that.
So beginning of this year, I had just a windfall of bad experiences come my way. And a lot of very close, very personal betrayals. And it from the people I least expected. And I'm purposely hedging here just because I want to be respectful of those people, regardless. But suffice it to say, the impact it had on my life was catastrophic. And one thing that happened is I had been on two different medications. You know, I don't even remember them off the top of my head, but they were for anxiety and depression. So, you know, there you have it. Now, I basically had to hit the reset button on my life in the beginning of 2020, which is pre-COVID, so it didn't get much better. But what happened was there's only so much trauma and pain you can handle, and I was pushed way beyond that. And I, even with Lyme disease, you know, you reach a point where if you are suicidal, you're going to start planning, and if you're not, you realize you're not. Now, with Lyme disease, I remember I hit that point. I realized, okay, now I know I'm not suicidal because I'm sitting here thinking how this is the breaking point, but I didn't have it in me, and I was thankful for that. This, what I experienced this year was well beyond that, And it had a lot to do with the fact that a lot of the systems and a lot of the people that I put my trust in let me down. And when your whole world and honestly your perspective of the world, your hope for the future gets taken down, that type of breaking was much worse than Lyme disease. So what happened was I was also very negatively influenced by these medications, as you can imagine.
Oh, 100%, yes.
So I had partnered with this organization called Global Awakening. Believe it or not, they're not a red pill organization, but they are very into healing, specifically spiritual healing. What I like about them is they certify the healings, but they had an event in February that was coming near where I lived. And I just remembered I was in such a dark and terrible place. I just remember telling myself, all right, if I don't have some radical, crazy encounter, this is it. I'm not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have just a completely radical, crazy encounter. It happened during music, actually, in such a way where, I mean, I could spend a lot of time describing it, but more to answer your question here, it was the type of thing that changed my life, changed the way I think, and changed who I associate with, changed my outlook forever.
So expound more on that. Like, how did it affect you? And like, how did it shape the way you see things or the way that you live your daily life?
That's a great question. So how it affected me is essentially, I guess I got to spend a minute talking about what happened. You know, there's music playing, and I started breaking down. You know, I knew coming into this, I was a very broken person. But it's been very hard for me to let my emotions flow in a healthy way. You know, we were kind of taught to suppress them growing up, which that's not good. But I was in a place where no one knew who I was, and I just felt a little more safe because whatever happens to me, nobody knows. And I just started having this crazy experience where in the space of just a minute, these flashbacks of everything that had happened in my life and, you know, the trauma I had gone through and what things were done wrong to me. And I'm a believer in forgiveness. And I knew, you know, I got to forgive those who wronged me because it's for self-help. It's not for them. It's for me. But I didn't understand why I'm sitting there having these flashbacks of the most painful now parts of my life. And this went on for about an hour. You know, this was an event with a lot of people, and I was basically just on the floor out in another place. And it was a safe place. You know, it wasn't weird to them. They just, you know, let me have my time. But when I got up, I had people come up to me who never saw me before, and they said, "Your eyes look different." And people who knew me even said, "Boy, your eyes look different. You know, what happened to you?" And all I can say is, you know, it triggered a change where all of a sudden I was joyful. I started feeling like there was hope in my life again. And again, we're talking about a breaking point. And for me, there was a point of breaking with my emotions. There was a point of breaking that when I finally felt free to express it and realized that that was safe and okay. I don't know. There was many things that happened, but I want to stay on track in answering your question. And after that, I would have people come up to me and say, "You know, we know what you're going through. How are you doing so good?" I went from sleeping almost one day. I slept 36 hours, so that's a day and a half. And I had sleep issues for multiple reasons. I went from that to getting on a healthier schedule, and just, you know, finding in the midst of this circumstance of a failed marriage, of a failed friend, many failed friendships, of feeling like a loser living in someone else's basement, to just suddenly finding purpose again, and finding through music and through my own, you know, personal relationship that I have, finding a tenderness and sweetness with who I was and
right.
who I, in a way that I had never experienced before. It was freedom in a way that I never felt I had permission to experience. And for whatever reason, that had been so cut off from my life that when I encountered this freedom, it was enough to turn basically the shittiest life experience into something good, into something where people came up to me and said, "How are you doing this?" And I quit the medication cold turkey, which I believe had a very big part to play in all that.
Thank God. Yeah. So let me ask you, do you feel like you found your purpose?
I feel like
in
I'm
all of that.
No, but I feel like I'm way closer than I used to be.
So this is going to sound really strange, but what you experienced in this thing, the seminar that you went to, it sounds a little cultish, just on its face.
Yes.
So can you explain that to me?
Yes, it does, and many movements like this are. I can say that I've been in a cult, so I know what it really is, and this was not it. I've worked with these people personally, so it felt safe. But what it essentially is, and feel free to vet it, you know, look it up. The organization is called Global Awakening. Their emphasis is on spiritual healing primarily. And as I said before, they certify through different doctors their healing. And they essentially just go around wherever they're invited. They teach about how they believe the Lord heals today. And then they have a time of ministry for that to happen. And again, I've known, and I believe there's quite a few fake movements and cultish ones out there that are like it. I just haven't found this one to be the case.
Right. So you made reference to like cult stuff. So can you tell me about that? Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, certainly. Ask whatever you want.
So I kind of got the idea from what you said that you were possibly maybe in one. Can you expound on that?
I'm not sure I know what. Oh, in one. Yes. So growing up as a kid, there is a specific cult. They were called ATI. That stands for Advanced Training Institute. It might be prudent to clarify that I still know a lot of people when they hear the word cult, they think secret society or KKK, whatever. If you actually look into what a cult is, it's not just that. And this certainly wasn't. But by definition, and any really, you know, therapist worth their salt would tell you, it was a cult. I didn't have a choice per se, because this happened while I was still living with my parents, and they had their own baggage. It wasn't necessarily what they wanted. They just had their own blinders up.
Right. And that happens.
It does. So, you know, I love them and I don't blame them. And I've dealt with all that, but it definitely was, it was essentially a movement. It got pretty big as I understand things. They had meetings yearly in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the main guy, his name was Bill Gothard. I don't know if he's in prison or not at this point, but I can't speak for all the leaders. He was the main one. And his system drew in a lot of predators. And he either always was one or became one. Hard to say. I don't really care to know at this point, because what he did was inexcusable. Right. He had a set of rules. We were homeschooled, and he essentially had his own curriculum that he distributed. If you question his leadership, even just with anyone, it was looked down upon. And interestingly enough, this might emphasize just how strong the arm of influence was. When we first joined this, let's call it cult, because it was, and my parents were saying, hey, these are the things we're going to try. We're not going to do everything. You know, they say no alcohol. We're going to do alcohol, but we're going to give this a try because we believe in it. One of us kids spoke up and said, so is Bill Gothard our new father?
Right. And you know, with that particular organization, I'm going to call it, not a cult. I'm going to call it an organization. Their thing, from what I'm reading, is for industry recognized certifications and high demand for technical careers. So they're pushing basically for kids or parents, not only to follow whatever the quote leaders' beliefs are, but it's under the guise of having students become like technical leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. Is it, am I right on that?
I think so. It's been a while, but you know, they had a completely inclusive curriculum, and they definitely that fits what I remember as far as their goals. I was much younger at the time.
So it's kind of like to me, and I hate to say this, but it's kind of like reminds me of Scientology.
Sure.
Where it's like based on scripture and love mm-hmm. the Lord, but these are the guidelines that you're going to follow, and you're going to follow strictly, and like your marriages are going to be under the guise of like Christian marriages and whatnot,
right.
even though you may not know somebody, kind of like a arranged marriage type thing. And, but we're going to like, propel you if you go through our course. We're going to propel you to the lead, basically roles in society. Thank you, Tom Cruise, for being in Scientology, and you have like lots of money in Hollywood.
Yep.
So is that kind of what it was with the, you know, Christian based supposedly, but still
supposedly.
Yeah, but we're still going to like push you to like you're going to be the industry leaders.
Yes, they definitely had that influence. I know that Bill was trying to like strongly pushing my dad to leave his business and instead take over this hotel in Flint, Michigan and become right. like this entrepreneur in hotels.
You don't want to go to Flint, Michigan. No, you don't.
Good God, no. We did for a week, and it was seedy as shit. Like,
I was going to say, I've moved all over the place, but I used to live in Michigan, and yeah, Flint is not an area that you really want to go start a life in. Same.
Not at all. And it's interesting in hindsight that he would – someone would try to steer us that direction. But, right. you know, so they had their plan for your life, and they encourage you to, you know, take their plan, do their thing. More heinously, his program, you know, he had a lot of young women who he essentially groomed in this kind of sub-society. It was that was the status, you know. Oh, you work with Bill, you must be a really, you know, great spiritual person. And he particularly, not at all surprised, of course, but he particularly liked young women to be his personal assistants. And
so it's kind of like the Nexium thing.
Yeah, I just say it's a different flavor. It's essentially the same. And thank God the story started coming out and survivors started listening and sharing. It kind of blew up, I don't know what's happened since then. I know he stepped down, which of course that's about the most admission you'll get from someone like him.
That's a little questionable on its own, is it not? Where, you know, these people have done some really crazy, shady shit, but it's like, oh, well, kind of like Bill Gates, I'm stepping down from right. Microsoft.
Right. How about the hundreds or maybe thousands at this point of CEOs that have just stepped down over this past year?
Exactly. And I wonder why, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the thing is that, for me, you have to create your own path, but you have to create your own path that is not dark and evil. Mm-hmm. You have to be you and live your own truth and pull your own positive energy, pull your own positive vibrations and stuff, and just do not give in to their crazy crackerjack kind of boxed world where like all the evil ties together.
Yeah.
Like, it's so important. So let me ask you, like, with the near-death thing and stuff, did it make you more focused in life to bring yourself into, like, a more positive area and to basically know, like, okay, this is literally, like, what I'm supposed to be doing, how I'm supposed to be living, like, this is, like, I'm going to be the best person that I need to be because this happened.
Yes, it did. You know, and I'm well aware of the fact that someone who's gone through the things I've gone through, you're made an example of. You know, I do have a pretty wide sphere of influence as far as in real life, not social media. So there's people watching. And so, you know, I recognize how I handle what I'm given can have a real lasting impact on my nieces and nephews, on others. Right. And that's not a pressure thing. What I found was freedom. And what I continue to find is freedom. And it has fueled that positivity. It has fueled, it's honestly hard to articulate, but essentially it's comfort in being who I am.
Right.
Even to the point of the things I don't like about myself, just acknowledging, and instead of trying to fight it, saying, I don't like it. You know, this is an area I can work on, but I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't exist anymore.
Right. And, you know, I think that's like a really good message for a lot of people is just learning to get to the point where you accept yourself. Because everyone has flaws.
Yes.
Everyone has personality traits maybe they wish they didn't have, or, you know, like skin flaws or memory issues or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
But embrace that, because throughout life, you'll learn the older you get, especially, that you're blessed in the way that God meant you to be. And you should embrace who you are, imperfections and all, because you're beautiful the way you are.
Absolutely.
And if somebody else is not accepting of you, that's their own fault. It's not yours.
Yes, and that's, for me and personalities like mine, that's the hardest part to accept. It's very hard to live with anyone feeling that way about you. And that might not, you know, be the most flattering thing to admit, but I know there's many people out there like that.
Right, there are.
But that's the trap I'd say I've lived in most of my life. And again, it's what I've gone through and where I'm at right now. Anyone I respect who I've talked to said it's just remarkable the type of health and the type of momentum I have built over a short period of time. And of course, the question is, well, then how did that happen? And we've talked about that. But if I had to, you know, put it into a sentence, I'd say it's freedom. It's freedom to be who you are. And that's not a license to do whatever the hell you want, but it is permission to just accept who you are. And as simple as that sounds, that has fundamentally been life-changing for me.
Right. And that's, you know, for people that know me very well, I'm just me and I love being me. And either I'm very polarizing. Either you love me or you hate me.
Oh, yeah.
But your opinions of me don't matter as long as my opinion of myself, is in check and in balance. And I love being able to, speak out. I love being able to bring information, to have an opinion, to burp if I need to fart if I need to, to be goofy. 'Cause, you know, like, life is too short not to be who you are and to be your true self. And when you reach that plateau where you realize that being you is more important than being someone that people think is you, that's when your life completely falls into place and things are peaceful and they're calm and you don't have the emotional stress and strain and you can just live every day as you.
Yeah. And I just, you know, there's wisdom in that I'm just listening to, and, you know, it's to me, I value people who live that way even more now, because in my past, in my history, you know, I've essentially only talked about one experience where someone you trusted in let you down hard.
Right.
And what I have found experientially, and what you seem to find even more as you get more and more red-pilled, is it's the quote-unquote good guys who are really the bad guys. And I hate to say that, but it really is. And I feel... that's a generalization. There's always going to be exceptions. But I feel more and more comfortable around the people who live in, the way you described, who might completely just go off, you know, yell at me or whatever, you know, the Tommy G types or the Janet types. I feel way more comfortable around those types than the people who just seem like nice people who got it all together and keep, you know, themselves in check, because even if they're sincere people, when they break so hard. You don't want to be around when that happens.
Right. And that's, and you know, that's so true. And the thing is, people know that know me know if you are an asshole, I'm going to tell you you're an asshole. I don't sugarcoat it. I don't hide it, because being you and being realistic in life, and being who you actually are and who you were meant to be is going to bring you so many more positive experiences in life, where you can speak up for yourself, whether it be in the medical community, whether it be in friendships, etc. But the more, and here's the thing, people know that we talk about this a lot here, but being an empath is so important in life, because when you're an empath, which means you can feel other people's not only vibrations, but emotions, feelings, things like that. Yes. You, when you draw in, and when you're very open to that and you draw in other empaths, your life is complete and it's perfect, because you know through their energies and stuff who to pull into your circle and who to keep outside. Just saying.
Well, that's certainly the area I'm trying to learn and grow in more, because I could spend a lot of times talking about time and time again where people have let me down, or people I know, and you identify the reason is because of a wrong way of thinking and misplaced trust. But you know, I'm more so trying to still make a concerted effort in this time of my life to identify where to place my trust and how to place it.
And that's the thing for people to understand, is that you give and you get back what you give out. And so if you're putting out only negative energy, you're angry every day, you hate your life, you hate your job, you're staying at home and you don't like that, you don't like your, like, whatever, you don't like your life, you don't like your family, you hate your friends, etc., etc., and which people do.
Yes.
That's, you pull that back 1,000 times. And so when you open yourself up to okay, I'm only gonna focus on positive things. And this is a little tip for people with anxiety and depression. If you journal every day and be like, okay, I'm not going to focus on anything negative. I'm going to say these are only the positive or the good things that happened today. Number one, I woke up. Number two, I love my cat or I love my dog. They love me. My family loves me. I'm really smart. I have a great smile. Look at my eyes. They're beautiful. Whatever it is, if you pick positive things out of every day and you journal that, your negative crap is going to go away and your life is going to improve 10,000-fold because you're putting out, this is me. Guess what? I'm actually great. Even though all these people throughout my life have told me I'm not, I fucking am.
Right.
And you're going to start drawing in other people that are amazing. And here's the thing. Like me, I'm an empath. I pick up on energy. I pick up on vibration. Mm-hmm. I can read a room. I can feel right. when other people are sick. I'm like deeply into the empath thing, like in a whole nother level. And so to me, I only draw other people who are empathetic to me now.
Yes.
I cannot pick up anyone else because it's like I have, I guess you want to say like a force field around me.
Yeah.
Like I won't allow that in. I won't allow negative energy, and I only pick up and pull in people that are very similar in nature to me, mm-hmm. whether they're beginning, whether they're end, whatever. That's my life.
You know, what's interesting is that's so relatable to me. But what I find now is I can identify people so quickly, you know, almost immediately, like you're saying.
100%. 100%.
And I can see, hey, that was me 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And I know that me in that state was looking around thinking, God, I just wish someone would help me. I wish someone right. would value me, whatever. And yet right. now that I'm out of that, I'm looking saying, oh, that's not what that person needs. And that's not right. what I need.
Right.
It's very jarring to realize that. Right. I don't know if you've experienced that as well.
Yeah, 100%. And you not only... when you're deep level empath, you not only pick up all of those frequencies, vibrations, energy mm-hmm. levels, etc. But you can actually see what someone needs. And even if that person doesn't know they need it.
Yes.
You know. You know, yes. and you can pick that up and you're like, okay, so this person really just needs me to come up and talk to them or to touch their hand or whatever the case may be. And just basically like positive transfer energy mm-hmm. to them because they need it. I know that sounds weird and fucked up for people that don't understand that, but, energy transference and vibrational transference goes along with Reiki and a lot of other ancient healing stuff. It's true. It really yeah. is.
Yeah. You know, the other side of this, you mentioned about not only, you know, this is really what we're talking about right now is kind of protecting yourself from that right. negativity. But right. That's kind of like protecting yourself from the outward. Now, earlier you talked about more what I'd say is protecting yourself from the inward. Mm-hmm. And that's a discipline. You know, right. the situation in my life right now, I could absolutely be very depressed and have every reason to be every day that I wake up right now. You know, I have a lot of things and I have to address them. You know, I have a house that I need to sell, for example, and it's been a money pit. And so I can't ignore it. However, there's a real discipline that you learn on how to manage that negative part, but focus and put more thought into the things that are going well. I personally have found a lot of life, a lot of positivity, a lot of fun in plugging into just a wild community of people I never thought I would have anything in relation to. That's the whole reason you and I are having a conversation now.
Right.
It's you know, a journey that I'm trying to say I'm learning to walk in more and more in this discipline of protecting yourself from yourself. You know, you have to discipline your thoughts to not spend too much time on what's going wrong. And just right. If something else is going right, then feed your life into that.
I was going to say refocusing, and I tell people this all the time, refocusing your energy into positive things. And even though your life is super crappy right now, and like you're in lockdown and like your business is closed and like you hate your life, you hate staying at home, blah, blah, blah. Don't get mired down in that negative mindset and negative behavior. You have to make positives out of that. Okay, great. So here you are. You're at home. You can't leave your house. You can't do whatever. Guess what? Let your creativity flow.
Yes.
What have you always wanted to do that you can focus on? Do you want to research? Do you want to create art? Do you want to make music? Do you want to, you know, whatever the case may be, refocus into something positive?
Yes.
Anytime there's something negative in your life, refocus that into what can I do to make things better for me today?
Absolutely.
Don't focus on negative crap because it's only going to pull you further into the abyss of dismal caca land, basically. Put that positive energy into creating something or, you know, pushing you into a better direction in your life. Like, if you always wanted to do something, do it. If you always wanted to look into something, do it. If you want to connect with more people that are like-minded, do it. Good for you. Do something positive and then write that down and be like, guess what? I did.
Yes.
Like, pat myself on the back. Give yourself credit for all the good things and the positive things that you are and that you want to be and that you will become. Just saying. It works.
It does. I can tell you that a season of my life that was filled with a lot of depression, that was key to it. It's certainly key right now, but I like how you mentioned journaling because I learned there's honestly a science behind gratitude. And
Exactly.
I know you know about it.
Right.
And I learned that discipline as well to make a concerted effort to write down the things you're thankful for. And it really, I think the way I like to put it is it converts into positive energy that's reproductive in nature. And right. You find yourself, you generate this positive momentum that ultimately turns your life around. It did for me.
Right. And it's the same thing, people, with prayer. When you go to bed at night, if you pray, you should pray and give thanks for literally everything that you have. The roof over your head, the food in your stomach, the clothes on your backs, your family, the relationships that you have. Your friends, for everyone's health, happiness, and safety. Give thanks for everything and also atone for anything you may have done wrong. I'm asking for forgiveness. I want to be a better person. Help guide me on my path to what can I do to be better? You know, thank you for healing my cousin Joe, who has this disease or that disease, please lay your healing hands on them, blah, blah, blah. Always give thanks for every moment in your lifetime. And never, never get to the point where you're so in your own headspace where you like, I need like $1 million a year to live and I need blah, blah, blah. Don't ask for things like that. Ask for healing for other people. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for other people to wake up and realize that their self-worth, things like that, because it's so important to give what you have to other people, because when you're selfless, your life is going to come back to you 50-fold, just saying.
Yes. And I believe that it is hard for certain people to do, certainly for me, but you find if you stick with it, it pays off.
It does. 100% it does. So, like, we're going to have to close for today, but I could literally talk to you for, I don't know, months straight, because we just have, like, a different kind of connection, which I can seriously feel. So, what are your final thoughts for today, and where can people find you at?
Yeah, certainly. You know, just to try to wrap this all in a bow, you know, I feel like my life has been defined by a lot of setbacks that I've had to work overtime to compensate for. And it's so cliche, but never give up. That's essentially what you have to do with whatever obstacle comes your way. You just don't right. give up. And as you very eloquently described, there's different approaches we can take to doing that. Right. But be an overcomer. We all can find it in ourselves. And when we do that, we can pass that on to other people. I can't emphasize that enough. I very much feel the same way about you, Janet. There's so many other things we could talk about. You know, we didn't even right. get to, for example, the aspect of dreams. And just as a teaser here, I knew that this podcast would be formed because you approached me as you did last week. So right. That's a cool thing we can touch on next time. As far as what I do, I don't monetize much or anything. I use the tag name
I
here.
Don't either.
Yeah. I appreciate that about you. So the tag name I have is Atoz. It's AATOZ. I've been a little bit off Twitter lately because it's just kind of, I feel like what's going to happen is what's going to happen. I need to stay away from it. But I'm on there at AATOZB. Where my passion and heart is in music. So if you look up AWL Radio, that's two words, you can find both on SoundCloud, MixCloud, YouTube, the music I do, and that's personally where I find the life. That's where I pour all my emotion into. And if people find something special there, that means a lot to me. So you can find me at those locations.
Right. And that's so important. You know, like I said before, like having an outlet and doing, what you enjoy and what uplifts you, what boosts you, what lifts your mood, what makes you be you is yes. so important. Don't sell out. Never sell out. Be yourself and know that you yourself are beautiful because you were a creature that was created by God. There is no other you other than you. And even with any flaws and scars, it's beautiful because you are who you are. So anyway,
yes.
you can follow me on, of course, Twitter, which of course now is No Janet, KNOW, because they deleted my account before. You can follow me on Instagram at Deplorable Janet. And please, 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 if you haven't already, get over to 4D Media. We do a lot of Gilded shows. You can follow all of the staff, all of your favorites from the No Mercy podcast. And of course, ATAZ is part of that community as well. So make sure that you get in touch, get in tune, sign up if you have not already, put in your email. You'll get notifications for when the site goes live. We're working on big things, important things for all of you. So for me and for ATAZ, thank you for tuning in to another episode. God yes. bless. And just remember to be you. So peace out for both of us.